our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God by singing together Psalm 122, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Together with the Church of all times and places, let us now make profession of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing together hymn 1. Congregation, let us come before the Lord in prayer and ask Him for a blessing over the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, we are glad that we can assemble as your people in your presence. It fills us with great joy. We thank you that you, through your Spirit, have made us your dwelling place. And we thank you that you call us together to assemble as your people, to hear your word, to praise your name. Father, we have different backgrounds, different upbringing, different education. Things we have learned, things we have experienced are different for different ones of us. And yet you unite us together as your people in an amazing way. And we thank you for that. And grant, O Lord, that we may accept your way in our lives and do all things in submission to you. Build us all up through your word. Comfort and encourage us through your word this afternoon. Strengthen your servant to bring it and strengthen all of us to listen to it, to submit to it, to do your will. And Father, we ask these things confessing that we are unworthy sinners. It wasn't because we were desirable in and of ourselves that you have made us your people. And we pray that you will continue to deal with us in grace, that you will continue to work in our midst through your word and spirit in grace, that you will build us up. And we pray that the day may come soon when we may be perfected, when your work in our lives will be completed, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of heaven. Hear our prayer. In Christ's name alone. Amen. You now have opportunity to bring your thank offerings for Children of Light, caring for the education for children in Indonesia. After we have brought our offerings, let us praise the Lord by singing together Psalm 56, stanza 5. Psalm 56, stanza 5, after the offering. In connection with what we confess in Lord's Day 25 about the Word and the sacraments, work and strengthen faith, our scripture reading this afternoon comes first of all from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 55, the verses 6 through 11, and then we turn to the New Testament, read from Romans 10 and 1 Corinthians 10. So first of all, from Isaiah 55, the verses 6 through 11. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. We turn now to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 10, the verses 5 through 17. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And finally, we read some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 to 17. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Congregation, so far the reading of God's word. Let us now sing from Psalm 86, stanza 4. Thank you. text for this afternoon's proclamation of the gospel is God's revelation about word and sacrament and their relationship to faith, as the church has summarized God's revelation on this topic in Lord's Day 25, part of our confession of faith. Lord's Day 25, I read with you that Lord's Day, after the previous Lord's Days where at length the true faith was worked out. Since then, faith alone makes us share in Christ and all his benefits. Where does this faith come from? From the Holy Spirit, who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and strengthens it by the use of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals. They're instituted by God so that by their use, he might the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. And this is the promise, that God graciously grants us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life because of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground for our salvation? Yes, indeed. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ, one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in a new covenant? Two, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. After the proclamation of the gospel, our Amen song is Psalm 107, stanzas 8 and 12. Psalm 107, stanzas 8 and 12 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how do you get strong, healthy Christians? How do you get men and women of faith who stand firm on the promises of God, able to resist the winds of false doctrine? How do you get comforted Christians who know that no matter what happens, they are safe in their Heavenly Father's hands? How do you get people who are strong in fighting sin? For that matter, how do you get faith? That must be the most ardent desire of any covenant parent, that their child respond in faith to God's promises. How do they get faith? It's by faith alone that you share in Christ and all his benefits. And those benefits include forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. They include knowing that God is your Father for Christ's sake, who will be with you and give you what you need even when you go through difficulties. Those benefits that come in Christ include the renewing work of the Holy Spirit so that you hate sin more and more and really desire to do good and by the strength of the Spirit grow in holy living. Those benefits in Christ include all you need to face your mortality, to face the approach of death with peace. Those benefits are many. They come from Christ. They are received by faith. Having faith, you share in such riches, congregation. Without faith, you have nothing, really. From where do you get faith? So that you can live as joyful, rich, strong, comforted, at peace Christians. Our theme this afternoon, God the Spirit promises to grant the blessings of salvation in the church through the means of grace. We'll see three things. First of all, the Holy Spirit works faith through the preaching of the gospel. Secondly, the Holy Spirit strengthens faith through the sacraments. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit keeps the focus on Christ crucified. So God the Spirit promises to grant the blessings of salvation in the church through the means of grace. The Holy Spirit, first of all, works faith through the preaching of the gospel. Secondly, he strengthens faith through the sacraments. And finally, he keeps the focus on Christ crucified. Let's be clear. It's impossible for people to believe. That is, humanly speaking. Scripture makes clear unbelievers are dead in sin. And the spiritually dead will only reject him. It does not matter how wonderful heaven will be and how terrible hell will be. A spiritually dead person will never choose to put their trust in God. And don't forget, by nature, we too are unable to do any good. True for us. True for our children too. Only God, the Almighty God, can make dead sinners into living saints. Only God can take idolaters, those who worship anything and everything but God, and turn them into worshippers of Him. Only God can work faith. And that can clearly be seen, congregation, even from the words that the scriptures use to describe the change that happens whereby dead sinners are made into living saints. The Bible describes that as being raised to a new life. Only Almighty God can make the dead come back to life. That the Bible describes that spiritual change as a resurrection, a being raised from the dead, shows that that change by which dead sinners are made into believers, that's the work of Almighty God. We read in another place, 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Clearly, if that change is a new creation, then it must mean that the change can only be worked by the one who has the power to create, the Lord God himself. Only God can bring forth faith. And not just the new beginning, but also the growth to maturity is not something that man can work and achieve, but it comes from God. Believers, strong believers, can only be produced by the Almighty God. God is almighty and could work it just like that in a moment and without any means or tools. To the question, is it possible for God to turn the heart of a complete unbeliever into a believer who is strong in his faith? The answer must be yes, of course. God is almighty. Imagine, for example, a person living in the Amazon jungle, part of a tribe that has never heard the gospel, an idolater living in superstition. Our God is almighty. And he could take that person and make him believe in Jesus Christ and make him understand the difference between justification and sanctification and also why it's necessary to baptize infants. A believer who would be strong in his faith even though calamity should befall him, would persevere to the end and so enjoy everlasting salvation. Of course, our Almighty God could in a moment turn that idolatrous person into such a believer. But God has told us the way in which he is normally pleased to do these things. And that's what we need to work with. We need to depend on the way that God has said he will work these things. Think of Romans chapter 10. Paul had just pointed out that those will be saved who call on the name of the Lord. But then he asked, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And after quoting Isaiah, Paul concludes, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God has ordained that faith will be worked through the word. God's word, it's powerful. And God has promised that it will achieve that for which He sends it forth. Think of what we read in Isaiah 55. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God promises that His word will be mighty and effective, that He will work through His word. Think too of what the Holy Spirit reveals about the gospel in Romans chapter 1. He says there, it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. Notice the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, God is pleased to work in a powerful way through the gospel to work salvation. There is a divine power at work in the gospel. Only God can make people share in Christ and all His benefits, and He works that through the gospel. And notice, brothers and sisters, that the Catechism speaks about the preaching of the gospel. Where does this faith come from? From the Holy Spirit, who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. Not just the word of God in written form, but the word of God as it is proclaimed by the preachers of the gospel. Now, it's true that the word of God in written form is important and powerful. It's a light to our feet and lamp to our path and so on, Psalm 119. But the Bible itself emphasizes the importance of having that word proclaimed. Already in the Old Testament, we can see that next to the written law of God, they had the law written form. Next to the written law of God, it was also important that the law be taught and explained by the priest. As we read in Malachi 2, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. It was the priest's task to explain and apply the law for the people of God. And similarly in the New Testament, we see that next to the written word of God, there needs to be the preaching and the teaching and the instruction in the word of God. Think back to that quote from Romans 10. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? God gives office bearers in the church, ministers of his word, to preach his word to his people. Thus Paul commanded Timothy to preach the word. Ephesians 4, Paul speaks about how the ascended Christ gives pastors and teachers to the church for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gives not just his word, but men through whom his word is proclaimed and explained, so that the church might be built up to maturity, grow in faith, knowledge, and holiness. Think too what the Apostle Peter writes in his letter, that his readers were born again through the living and abiding word of God, and then adds, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The emphasis of Scripture is on God working these things through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of his word. God promises to do mighty things through his word, to work faith, to strengthen faith. And then he also gives men to proclaim and teach that word to his people. In fact, you probably know that story in the book of Acts about Cornelius, a pious centurion. He was praying, and God sent an angel to him. And what's striking, congregation, is that angel did not bring to Cornelius the message of salvation, but he told Cornelius, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household will be saved. The words through which Cornelius would be saved would come through the Apostle Peter, the God-given office bearer. There is the clear command in the New Testament that God's people not neglect to meet together. They are to gather together for the public worship of God. That's how the church as an assembly becomes visible in this world. When the believers who worship God in their homes and work throughout the week, when those believers gather together on the Sunday for public worship, and an integral part of that public worship is the preaching of the gospel. It's what we see happening in the New Testament. When the people gathered together and heard the word of God proclaimed. God is mighty. He's able to work and strengthen faith how he pleases. The congregation, he binds us to the means that he has given. The preaching of the gospel is the instrument which he has said will work faith. And not only work it, but strengthen faith too. For in 1 Peter, Peter makes clear that the believers were not only born again through the word, but that they also made to grow through that word. It's the power of God through for salvation. And then you see, congregation, the significance of attending church on the day of rest. You see the significance, the importance of assembling as the people of God. Then you see the urgency of sitting under the preaching of the gospel. Then you see why you should be here and your children with you. God says that he is pleased in this way to work and strengthen faith through his word. Through the preaching of his word, he is pleased to grant you salvation. When you diligently attend the church of God, and you can trust God's promise that he will do mighty things through the preaching. He has said that the preaching is there to work faith, to strengthen faith, to bring the church to maturity so that you might be solid Christians. Christians who won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Only God can work these things, and he tells you, I work that through the preaching of my word. Do you see then what a special thing it is to assemble under the preaching of the gospel? Do you see what a precious thing it is to take your children there too? It's different for going for a walk in God's creation, or doing some personal meditation, or having an upbuilding conversation with a fellow believer. For God has promised to work mightily through the preaching of the gospel. It's true that other things can be edifying in their own way, but God has clearly promised to work great things through the preaching of the gospel. When you gather to hear his word proclaimed, then you are confronted with his power as he has promised. My word shall not return to me empty. I've given the preaching for the edification of my people unto maturity. Who would ever lightly skip church when you know that God has promised to work such great things through the preaching of the gospel? And then too, you see why you must not stumble over the preacher of the gospel. Understand well, congregation. God could have chosen to speak to you directly from heaven. He could have sent a message directly to Cornelius. But God is pleased to work through the ministry of men who preach the gospel. Of course, they have their responsibility to make sure they use the gifts they have been given to the best of their ability. But the congregation must realize they are called to submit to these means, even if sometimes the preaching doesn't grab their attention or is a bit wooden and so on. God is pleased to work through the preaching of the gospel. And that brings us to consider in the second place, the Holy Spirit strengthens faith through the sacraments. The preaching of the gospel is one of the means of grace that has been given to the church. But that's not the only tool which the Holy Spirit uses when it comes to building God's people up in their faith. He also uses sacraments. This Lord's Day comes with a definition of sacraments. They are holy, visible signs and seals. They are holy. In that they are ordinary things. Water, bread, wine. Ordinary things that have been set apart for a special use by God as He works with His people. They are also visible. They can be seen. You see, the minister put the water on the baby's head. You see, the minister distribute the bread. They're tangible things. The key thing about the sacraments is that they connect something physical and visible with something invisible and spiritual. The water of baptism, plain water, is connected in the sacrament to the washing of the soul of the sinner by the blood and spirit of Christ. The bread of the Lord's Supper is connected with the crucified body of Christ, which saves sinners from damnation. Now, only God can connect visible signs, visible things, with invisible spiritual realities. That's why the church only has two sacraments. Because there are only two things given in the church by which God has laid a connection between receiving the sign and receiving His grace. Only God can say, here, take this sign and believe and be assured that as surely as you share in the sign, so surely did Christ do this or that for you. You'll learn more about this connection between the sign and what it points to as you work through the Lord's days on the sacraments, 26, 27, 28 through 30. For now, we need to pause at how the Spirit works through the sacraments. In both sacraments, congregation, Jesus Christ is promised to people. Why do we say that? The Holy Spirit makes this clear by the words that go with the sacraments. The Holy Spirit Himself calls baptism the washing away of sins. Not that baptism washes away sin, but to make clear that one who is baptized is being promised the washing away of his sins through Christ's blood. But with the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 10, what does the Holy Spirit call the bread of the Lord's Supper? He calls it the communion of the body of Christ. What the Holy Spirit is teaching us is that Jesus Christ is being offered to us in the sacrament of bread. The believers eat the bread and it remains normal bread, properties unchanged. But the Holy Spirit speaks about sharing in that bread as sharing in the body of Christ. He wants the believers to know and be assured that they as certainly are made to share in Christ and His benefits as they eat the bread. That's how real the sharing is. Compare this to the preaching. The message of the gospel is, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's, congregation, how Christ is offered in the preaching, as it were. When people hear that message that comes from the pulpit and believe, then they are embracing Christ. They, by faith, share in Christ and all His benefits. Now, the Christ who is offered in the sacraments is the same Christ. The believers share in Christ by faith, by believing the gospel. But then the sacraments are given to present Christ to them in a different way. Not just in the preached word, but also in the sacrament they share in. So that the believers are made the more sure that they really do share in Christ, that His benefits really are for them. It's like a ring given at a wedding. The groom promises to love his bride when he makes his vow. And then he gives her a ring. He does not offer her a different love when he gives the ring. But that ring that he gives symbolizes the same love that he had vowed to her in the vow, but in another form. It's a physical reminder, that ring that she'll wear on her finger, it's a physical reminder of what he promised her. Similarly with the sacraments. The same Christ with all his benefits is offered to the believers. Not a different Christ, but the offer comes in a physical form. So that the believers are comforted and encouraged that they really are made to share in Christ. The Christ whom they receive by believing the gospel. That's how the Holy Spirit strengthens faith through the sacraments. And notice too, congregation, how in our Lord's Day repeated reference is made to the use of the sacraments. Already in the first answer, the Holy Spirit strengthens faith by the use of the sacraments. And then answer 66, the sacraments were instituted by God so that by their use he might the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. The sacraments need to be used. They are not magical. They are not like some potion or lotion with magical properties so that you put them on or consume them and then you will have salvation. That's not how the sacraments work. They must be used. That means you must consider and work with the promises they point you to. You must use them considering the promises they are symbolizing and clinging to that promise. For example, when you sit down and share the bread of the Lord's Supper. And you must carefully consider that God has promised to make you share in Christ's body, which saves you from the punishment you deserve and will refresh your soul so that you might live in holiness before Him. The kind of things you've got to be thinking about as you eat the bread. And not just use them at the point of the time when you receive them. In fact, when you are baptized as a baby, you don't yet understand what is happening. But the sacraments have to continue to be used after they have been received. Consider that God is underlining that Christ and his benefits are really for you as certainly as you receive the sacrament. That's how real, how certain it is. The Holy Spirit strengthens faith by our use of the sacraments. The preaching of the word and the use of the sacraments have been given to the church. It's the office bearers who are commanded to preach the word. There's also the command to baptize. And the church has been commanded to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So you can say that the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments have been placed in the hands of the church. The congregation, not in such a way that they are no longer instruments in the hands of our Almighty God. The minister speaks to you as an ambassador of God. And God has promised to work through that preaching of the gospel. Similarly with the sacraments. The minister administers the sacrament, but he does that as the servant of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit has spoken about the sacraments. So that we might know that as certainly as we share in them, believing, so certainly are we made to share in Christ. The sacraments remain the tools of the Holy Spirit, even as they are administered by the minister. And that means, beloved, that in the word and the sacraments, you meet God himself. He comes to you through the word that is preached, the word of the gospel that is his power unto salvation. He works with the sacraments for the strengthening of your faith. Do you see then what a special thing it is when you assemble as the people of God for worship? God promises to work in your midst through the word and sacraments. He comes to you through His Word. He promises to work faith and the strengthening of faith through the Word and sacraments. God is at work in the midst of a church service. We meet with God. Does it not make sense then that your approach to God is characterized by reverence? That your clothing, your demeanor, your alertness is determined by the glorious reality of God being at work in our midst. Holy, awesome, almighty God is at work. How we must come before Him with reverence and holiness. How this must guard our steps as we draw near to hear His Word and use the sacraments. Which brings us in our final point. The Holy Spirit keeps the focus on Christ crucified. The first point, you heard that the Holy Spirit works faith through the preaching of the gospel. We need to return to that for a moment, underline not just that it's the preaching, but the preaching of the gospel. What's the gospel? That's the good news about Christ crucified. Throughout the scriptures, God has been revealing man's sin and the need of salvation. And then God has also revealed in His Word the way in which He will save you from your sins. Through a substitute. Through the Savior He promised, the seed of the woman. That's the gospel. And that Jesus Christ bore God's wrath for us sinners. That by His death, His horrible death, He obtained salvation and everlasting life and all the other saving gifts for the people of God. That is the gospel, the good news. That's the message that must repeatedly be heard in the church. Jesus Christ has died for your sins. He has obtained for you all the benefits of salvation. And then the sacraments don't bring you another way of salvation. The sacraments don't point you to another way to be saved. Along these lines, you can be saved through believing the message of the preaching, or you can be saved through partaking the sacrament from time to time. If you're not too into listening to sermons, then just take the sacrament from time to time. And that should keep you safe too. As if the sacrament can save you. As if by magic. No. The sacraments don't come to you with another way of salvation. What an idolatry that would be. To teach that the bread and wine can save you in a different way from how the preaching saves you. For God saves you only by faith in Jesus Christ. The sacrament point to the message of the preaching. It is Christ who is offered. Both word and sacrament have the same focus. Jesus Christ, who came to earth to suffer and die for sinners. That's the only ground for your salvation, beloved. And the only way to enjoy Him is by faith. That's why the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments, they both call you to faith, to believe in Christ crucified. There is only one way to share in Christ and all His benefits, by believing in Him. That's what the preaching and the sacraments call you to. Or more strongly, that's what the preaching and the sacraments offer to you. Christ crucified, who must be embraced by faith. God comes to you in the preaching. I proclaim to you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. Believe in Him. Cling to Him in faith and so enjoy Christ and all His benefits. And the sacraments come with the same offer. Truly believe that Jesus Christ is for you as certainly as you share in the sacrament. God comes to you in word and sacrament, offering to you, proclaiming to you salvation. What an amazing thing to be in church. Sunday by Sunday, where God would give to you such rich blessings. We live in a broken world, and we are sinners, and struggles and doubts and failings and sins characterize our lives. But then every Sunday, in the preaching of the gospel, and regularly in the sacraments too, God speaks to us. Jesus Christ died for you. His blood really does wash you. His body was crucified for you, and you will live forever by faith in Him. His body and blood will give you strength to live in holiness. God does love you. It is okay, even when everything falls apart in your life, for God is the Father who will not forsake you. The grave is not the end for those who believe in Christ. Life makes sense, for through faith in Christ, you are restored as heirs in this world, and your family life and daily work have purpose, and so on. Rich benefits are given to you Sunday by Sunday through the Christ who is proclaimed to you in the gospel and signified and sealed in the sacraments. God is pleased to work in your midst through the preaching and sacraments. Is that not awesome, beloved? Then you also understand why there are those first two marks of the church, that the preaching must be the pure preaching of the gospel. For God has promised to work faith through the preaching. That's why the minister and the elders must guard that preaching. Make sure it's pure preaching, so that the word of God is protected. When lies and half-truths replace the pure preaching, that's when the church is torn down and scattered. That comes from the enemy of God. And that's too why the sacraments must be administered according to the command of Christ. For the Holy Spirit strengthens faith through the sacraments. But when they no longer point to Christ, but when they point to themselves as magical grace dispensers, for example, then they will no longer strengthen the faith in Christ, but lead away from Christ to idols. That's what the Mass has become in the Roman Church. Lord's Day 25 makes clear why those first two marks of the Church are important. Other Lord's Days speak about the importance of discipline too. Rejoice, congregation, in coming to church Sunday by Sunday. Rejoice to assemble as the people of God, according to God's command, to hear the preaching and use the sacraments. Through the preaching, God is working salvation through faith in Christ. Through the sacraments, God is strengthening faith in Christ. God is at work, granting the enjoyment of the blessings of salvation, blessings for this life and the life to come. That's why we confess. Outside the church is no salvation. Not to say that nobody can be saved outside the church, but rather that the blessings of salvation are to be found there in the church. How do you grow in your certainty, in your maturity as a child of God? How can you be a strong Christian enjoying the riches of salvation? How will your children receive faith, grow in faith, grow up to be strong Christians who will serve the Lord throughout this life and forever? God has told you, congregation, how He works salvation through the preaching of the gospel. Go to church. Take your children to church. For that's where God has promised to work amazing things. Amen. There are the following announcements. The Lord willing, we will celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday morning. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, lest anyone eat and drink condemnation upon themselves by eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, you are called to examine yourselves. As we confess in Lord's Day 30, only those may come to the table who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, and who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their life. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Now, the station has been requested by Family A. Vanishaft to the Free Reformed Church of Busselton. The consistory has nominated the following brothers to the office of elder: Brother A. Bile, Brother Q. Klein, Brother B. Wilstrom, Brother A. Woonings, and the following brothers to the office of deacon: Brother Ray Huizinga and Brother Jack Reitzma. Elections will take place Sunday, the 4th of November, after the morning service. Classes Central will convene, the Lord willing, on the 26th of October in Armidale, starting at 9:30 a.m. Let us now draw near to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for your revelation. We marvel at your word, that faith would be worked in our hearts through the word, a process we cannot understand or control. How mighty are your works, O Lord! We become so rich through faith. Continue to work faith in us and our children's hearts through the preaching of the gospel. Grant that we may all earnestly desire to grow, that we may see the importance of growing in our faith, being strengthened in our faith. Bless us with diligence in church attendance, that we may see its importance and significance. Work and strengthen faith in our midst, also in our children, that they may all come to that point where they confess their faith in you. Work mightily through your word in their lives. Bless all our reading and studying your word. Bless the times we take in our homes for devotions, personal devotions, family devotions, that we may grow in our knowledge of you, that we may grow in our joy in the gospel of salvation. We thank you for the sacraments, for signs and seals which point us to the Savior who is offered to us in the gospel. Help us to work with the sacraments. Help us to use them. Bless us as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper next week, that we may reflect on our sin and misery and how much we need Jesus Christ, and that we may truly believe that all we need for our salvation is found in Him alone. Grant that we may come eager to be nourished in our faith. And bless us too as we spend the next number of weeks in the Lord's days learning about the sacraments, that our knowledge of these may grow, that we may grow in our use of them for our edification. Father, will you bless us also in this week that lies before us, as we go back to our daily work tomorrow, guide us and keep us. Also, bless our minister as he enjoys an extended period of break, that it may be a refreshing time. In due time, he may take up the work again with renewed energy and vigor. Father, will you provide? Lord, continue to bless the work of the elders and deacons, that the congregation may flourish under their care, that we may continue to be a people ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. May that day come soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together our final song, Psalm 84, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. receive the blessing of our triune God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.